Hey, and welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR. I've got a lot to talk about going on in the Big Ten. It is the basketball episode. I got my guy Kent here with me. We are going to be chopping it up about starting lineups in the Big Ten this year. We have our predictions ready for 9 of the 18 teams. If your team is not mentioned in this one, we did already touch on them in the last episode. The teams we're going to mention here are Iowa, Maryland, UCLA, Rutgers, Ohio State, Illinois, Nebraska, USC, and Minnesota. So, Kent, are you ready to talk about all these starting lineups?
I am. And, you know, going through just some of those teams, just with you listing them all, I am concerned. I have a lot of concerns, but I know we're going to try to focus. What? We're just going to try to focus on the starting lineups. But, man, this is going to be such a weird conference this year, isn't it? Like, I had a buddy send me the little, like, projected, I forget what website it's from, one of the stat websites, but it's basically like, they projected like what their records are, every Big Ten team's record is going to be this year. And everyone was between like 12-8 and 8-12. And there was like 9 teams that were 10-10.
Isn't that just so on par with the Big Ten though? Like literally you can lose one game and drop 8 spots in the standings.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I was like, when I looked at that again though, I was like, man, it really is going to be a wild year. Like, I think there's some separation at the top, but like for the most part, everyone's going to be so, you know, competitive with each other. It's going to be so fun.
Yeah. I mean, in my mind, you have the top 3 teams, Indiana, Purdue, and I believe UCLA. But I know not everybody shares that consensus or shares that belief with me. And then on top of that, the next few teams you have that could contend, but it's also like they could not. We'll see. Is like Illinois, Michigan State, teams like them. And then there's just a complete wild card. It's like Ohio State, Michigan, USC, that like their entire lineup is just now transfers. And we're going to see how do they mesh together.
I put Illinois in that top tier category, though, with the other 3 that you mentioned. I think they're going to be good.
I think they will be good, too. I don't know. For sure, because they're kind of in that tier with a lot of transfers and a lot of new guys coming in. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But that's kind of my read on it. So,
should be fun. Yeah,
you have a good day today, Kit?
Had a great day. Just got back from soccer practice, coaching. Busy day. I was supposed to record with Sonny earlier. He might drop in probably. He usually does, just to say hi to you. Mm-hmm. And we had to push it back to tomorrow. So I'll be on Lockdown Illini, I think, live tomorrow morning. So come check that out.
Do you know what time yet?
What's that?
Do you know what time yet?
I think it's going to be 10. But, you know, he lost his power. That's why we couldn't do it today. Like he's down in Austin right now. I don't know if he wants me to. Does anyone want his address, too? I can give you guys that. No, he lost his power, though. So we ended up having to push it back. So as long as everything's working, I think it's going to be a go at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
All right. Very good. Go check him out. Phillips with you, man. He's feeling confident. He says Illinois will be top 3 under Brad Underwood. Trust Underwood, he says.
I do trust Underwood this year. I agree with that. Like, I think that they're in the top 4, but I could see where Phillips coming from, like, one of those other teams isn't going to be as good as we think they are, whether that's UCLA or Purdue or Indiana.
I'd say Indiana.
I actually would lean Purdue, I think, to drop the 4. I think so.
I don't think
and
so.
They're just, like, losing Edie is just such a big deal, but like,
I know, but you keep Braden Smith and you still have Matt Painter. Like, I just look at it from a coaching perspective, and I trust Matt Painter so much more than I trust Mick Cronin or Woodson. In fact, I probably trust Brad Underwood more than I trust Cronin and Woodson. So
dude, you're gonna love Cronin, man. You just got to get to know him a little bit better.
I don't dislike Cronin. I just don't know if I trust him completely, especially coming into the Big Ten new. That's what I'm saying. They're my top 3.
Do you think he trusts you? Like, if he watched this episode, like, do you think he'd be like, I trust that guy?
No. Mick Cronin strikes me as the guy that doesn't trust anything with the media, and anybody in the media is just like against him. And he uses that fuel for his team where he's like, they're all counting you out. You know, like how was it 2022 when Georgia won the national championship?
Yeah.
They were like, people picked us to be 5-7. It's like, no, they didn't, you idiots. Like, nobody picked you to be 5-7, but Kirby Smart just made them all believe the media hates them. You know, so even though I'm saying they're top three right now, he's going to spin it and be like, JR thinks you guys are bottom three in the Big Ten. You're not even going to make the Big Ten tournament.
They'd all be like, who's JR?
You don't need to know. Some loser.
He's the biggest name in media, and he thinks you guys are going to stink this year. Yeah. And they'd be like, oh, my God, let's play harder.
Let's beat him up.
Right?
Oh, man. All right, Kent, we got 9 starting lineups to get to. So if we want to get all these done, I think we better get to them. Phillip, really fast, he says, don't trust Woodson at all. He's almost as bad as Willard.
Ooh. Well, come on. That's unlike Phillip to be off on a comment. Like, he's not that bad. Come on, Phillip.
You think Phillip is in a nasty mood tonight? He's just doesn't like Indiana.
I would more expect from Phillip to say, like, I don't trust Woodson. He's not on Willard's level. But he's teetering to get there eventually.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Phillip knows how much we hate Willard on this show.
Spicy tonight, I think. We'll see. Oh, there we go. There's Sonny. My guy, JR. Nice to see you, bud. Nice to see you too, Sonny. Sonny, do you have power now? Is that how this has happened?
I just plugged your show, Sonny. Thanks for saying hi, bro.
Yeah, yeah. 10 a.m. I almost said a Lion Eye cast. 10 a.m. Locked on a Lion Eye. Go check him out tomorrow morning. Kent will be there. So,
I will.
All right, Kent, let's get to it. I'm going to have to move you around a little bit because of the, there we go. These are all like different sizes. Like look at the USC one. That one is so much smaller than this one.
Yeah,
so.
That's about exactly how I expected that to look based on, you know, kind of following their transfer portal stuff in the off season. It is literally a book, like brand new team for USC. Yeah. Are we doing them first or Iowa?
Yeah, we have Iowa right here.
Okay. We're doing Iowa.
Sorry, I was just showing USC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, Iowa does have some transfers incoming. They have the Drew Thelwell and how do you pronounce that? Seedon Treor. I'm terrible with pronunciations. They have those two guys coming in, but a lot of the Iowa Hawkeyes this year are incoming freshmen or returning players, and that's how the starting lineup looks for me there, Kent. I have 4 returning players starting for Iowa this season, but I do have Drew Thelwell as the starting point guard coming in from Moorhead, the winningest player in Moorhead State basketball history. He is coming in. He played point guard a lot for Moorhead last year, and I think he's going to be point guard for Iowa this year.
So that's the only position I felt like was even kind of up for grabs, and it honestly is. I'm going to blame you. I'm going to say it's your fault because we did a pod probably 2 months ago, and we were talking about projected assists, I think it was, and Brock Harding's name came up, and I didn't have a clue who he was. So, of course, after the show, I'm, researching Brock Harding, and I was like, okay, is this guy going to start? I started reading articles about him and stuff. So I felt like maybe there's a chance that he's, pushing for that position, but I think you're right, though. I think it is going to be Thelwell to start the season, but I don't know if they're – I'll be honest. I'm not sure about him. Obviously, I wasn't watching Moorhead last year a lot. So I don't know if he's going to be that much better than what Harding can give you at point guard. So I feel like either way you go, to me, it's a coin flip. And it's only because I don't know about Drew that much. And I know a little bit more about Brock. I thought that maybe he would be the starter, but that's the only position I think is kind of up for grabs. The other ones are kind of locked in, if you ask me.
I totally agree that when I was making my projected starting lineup for Iowa, that was the one that had the most question to me. I went back and forth on Brock Harding and Thelwell as well for that one. Where is my?
What if we just took the middle L out and just called him The Well?
The Well, yeah.
Yeah.
My wife, her high school, they were known as The Wells. That was their nickname. Mm. So. He could just match my wife's high school.
Yeah. I just like the idea of going back to the well. Like if he scores, the announcers just being they're going back to the well, you know, because that's already a saying and it's his name. So I think I want to call him that instead. Just the well.
So for me, when it comes down to when it comes down to the Well versus Brock Harding, like,
I'm sorry, did you want to talk about basketball tonight?
Or yeah, just we should probably do that a little bit. Brock Harding is better in a lot of the areas if you go to like the stats per 40 minutes. However, yeah. The Well, just he has so much more experience starting in my mind, and I think that is going to play a big factor. Brock Harding had very good numbers when you average him out to 40 minutes. Like, he almost averaged 10 assists per game if you give him 40 minutes last year. Obviously, that's not actually going to happen, but he averaged out better points per game than the Well as well, but he was not as good of a rebounder, and to me, the defense wasn't there as much as it was for the Well, and he also averaged out more turnovers. So looking at it and trying to figure out like which one are they going to go with, I feel like Fran McCaffrey is probably going to go with the more experienced guy. They got experience all over this lineup. They're probably going to go with the more experienced guy, especially at that point guard position, at least to start the season. And if he doesn't do well, the Well doesn't do well, then they might switch to Brock Harding at some point. But
yeah,
that's my thought there.
The only reason that I would even like I said, I feel like this position's up for grabs, but the reason I would argue back for Harding just slightly is because Fran is such a like loyal person, and you know, Brock is coming back. He's returning to the team. I mean, it's not like he was going to go anywhere. I'm sure he didn't have like a ton of transfer offers, and he obviously wasn't going to go to the league or anything. So maybe just like, hey, this guy's been in our program, he knows what we're about, start the season with him, we'll give Drew some looks, like a lot of minutes, and see what he can do, and then transition to Drew. But again, I think you're on point though. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you. I was just saying, like, if I was going to make a counter argument for Brock, that's what the argument would be.
Yeah, I could see either of them starting this year. We'll see. It just kind of depends. Philip, this is a good comment. Only ever plays well, never good, never great or bad, just well, the Well.
All right, tell
me if I'm wrong on any of the next four. I think you probably have the same ones there, Kent. I have Josh Dix as the other guard, Peyton Sanford, Ladji Dembele. I know I'm pronouncing Dembele right, but
that's all that matters. You just have to get the last name right, and that's a fun last. Again, I'm focusing on names, but what a fun last name to say, Dembele. Yeah.
And then Owen Freeman, the center. So
you think he's going to start?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
And who else do they have?
I'm just kidding. Obviously. Like
he's Dembele was the one last year that was behind him, but yeah.
No, yeah. Obviously, he's going to start. I think he's going to have a massive year. I'm expecting him to have a massive year. I agree with everything that you just said, all four of those other guys. But just to point something out in this roster, I think that if Josh Dix doesn't take a massive step forward this year, then, well, first of all, I think Iowa's going to struggle anyways, but a lot is going to hinge on him. Like, if he didn't make major improvements in the offseason, then this team is going to really have some problems.
Yeah. I don't expect good things from Iowa this season, even though they're returning an NBA caliber player and they have a couple of other players returning as well, and Dembele, Freeman, and Dix. I just like Dix is a good scorer, but he doesn't really offer you much else other than that. So if you have the Well in there, then is he going to be able to distribute everything on his own, or does he need Dix to be out there? Don't get me wrong, Dix adds a lot to the offense with his scoring, but I'm just concerned that that's the only thing that he brings to the table again this season. If it is, that's going to be a deficiency as well. And then Peyton Sanford, he's going to get his, but as we know with Iowa, no defense, and in this Big Ten with this many good teams, you're gonna have to play defense. You're not going to get away with no defense.
I just feel like he's going to have to be, like, going back to Josh though, I think he's going to have to be able to score like on multiple levels though. Like, he can't just be a shooter. He's got to be able to take people off the dribble too, because they already have, like, so much of the defense's attention is going to be on Peyton, obviously. And if he's not going to be able to take some of that load off him, or like, heaven forbid, Peyton Sanford has to sit on the bench for a couple minutes and he can't like replace what he's doing, then that's when they're going to have like streaks of like really bad offense, I think. So I think that a lot is hinging on him.
I agree. All right, let's get on to Maryland. All right, Maryland is returning a good amount of players. I wouldn't say, they are not returning very many players. They have Julian Reese, Jashaun Harris-Smith, Jordan Geronimo, and Jabari Lang. They have a bunch of incoming transfers, a couple or three incoming freshmen, and a number of guys leaving, one of those main guys being Jameer Young. It's going to be interesting to see how they transition from Jameer Young. I think they actually have a good backcourt to kind of counteract with losing Jameer Young. However, I don't think they can continue to rely on a point guard like they were with Jameer Young. Jacoby Gillespie is going to be the starting point guard of this team. However, even though he had great numbers when he was at Belmont, I don't think he's going to come in here and be your entire offense and have a usage rate that's outside the roof because of how much he's getting used. But Kent, you agree? You think it's going to be Jacoby Gillespie at point?
Yeah, guard? I don't see anybody else that it could be. It has to be him. So yeah, I agree with the point guard spot for sure.
Yeah,
Just like we were just now talking about with Iowa, the mystery position to me is, well, we were actually just talking about point guard with them, but I think we're going to move down the list here. Shooting guard is the mystery position. It's not because like I don't know for sure who's going to start, because I think it's Miguel. I think that's what I've been told. I'm not positive though, but it's also because I just don't know these guys. Like I don't know some of the guys that are going to be playing shooting guard for them. So it's like, I really don't have a clue about that one. Do you have any insight on that?
I think it's going to be Miguel too. I think Rodney Rice has a chance to start at some point during the year because I just think he's the better player from what we saw a couple years ago. However, he didn't play last year hardly at all. I don't think he played at all last year, if I'm remembering correctly. He was at Virginia Tech, and he was in the transfer portal like right at the beginning of the year, and that's when all the Maryland buzz started happening, and credit to them, they kept that buzz going the entire time. I actually think the more questionable thing here is, what do they do with Derek Queen? Are they going to start Derek Queen and put Julian Reese at forward, or are they going to start Jordan Geronimo? I kind of lean Geronimo just because last year you saw what happened with starting Deshaun Harris-Smith so early and he kind of struggled. But at the same time, like, I don't think Jordan Geronimo can be that four man that you need out of him. So I feel like you have to go with Derek Queen. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think Jordan's better at the small forward position. So no, I don't think that he's like hard in the, like, you know, he's not going to be like set in stone, like a power forward that you can just like totally rely on him being able to guard and like score down low or like in transition against other guys that are playing the four position in this league. So I would, if it was me, okay, so here's, I'll just say what my starting lineup would be. It would be Gillespie, Miguel. I would put Jordan at the three, put Derek Queen at the four, and Julian Reese at the five. I think that gives them.
I'd put Reese at the four and Queen at the five,
or whatever. Switch them back and forth.
Like, but yeah, they're both like interchangeable.
Yeah. But I think that's your best five, like your best five lineup. But I don't think that Jordan at the four is a good spot. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you go back to Jordan because he's been there for a few years now. He transferred in from Indiana. Was it last year or 2 years ago? I can't remember. But he transferred in from Indiana. And, I mean, he's not been bad. He's been a good contributor. He's just not been a star player for you. Brings a good amount on the defensive end. He's athletic as can be. But he's not a playmaker that you need. Derek Queen offers you that ability, possibly. But playing him too early also offers for his confidence to be shot. And so is that going to happen? I feel like Kevin Willard is kind of coaching for his job a little bit in this season.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like he's going to get fired for sure, but you best believe if they miss the tournament, he's gone. Like he's got to make the tournament this year. And the only saving grace, if he doesn't make the tournament, is if Derek Queen looks amazing and it's like, hey, keep me around. So that way Derek Queen doesn't transfer.
Yeah, I do. First of all, I do think he's going to get fired this year. I called that like at the end of last season. Basically, I said he's got one more year, and I think he's done. But I agree, though. He's got to play his best players as much as he possibly can, because this is a pivotal year for his career, I think. Like, man, yeah, if they don't make the tournament, I think he's got to be out. Like, Maryland fans, I think, are going to – I don't think Maryland fans like him. I'll be honest. I think they want to change already anyways.
Maryland fans are so hot and cold. They'll start the year and they'll be like, Kevin Willard's our guy. And then I'll lose three games and they'll be like, fire him. So, I mean, they're kind of moody from what I've seen. Philip asks, so Maryland has no three-point shooting again. So Gillespie was last year, he was 39%, and actually Miguel was 39% as well. So they don't have a 40% shooter in the starting lineup. I mean, it's okay shooting, but you are correct. Deshaun Harris-Smith was 20% last year, and Jordan Geronimo was 17%. And if you take Jordan Geronimo out, you put Derek Queen in there instead, at least in the starting lineup, no, I don't think they're going to have very much three-point shooting.
I agree. I don't think they are either. I have to imagine that Jalen Young is Jameer's brother, right?
Jalen, yeah, I have no idea. He might be.
It's in the isn't it in the incoming right here? Yeah, Jalen Young was at Penn. I can't talk tonight. He was at Memphis last year. He's at the bottom of the incoming transfers right there. If he's not his brother, that's just a crazy coincidence. Jalen.
Yeah, I just searched on Google. This is awesome podcasting, by the way.
Oh yeah,
I just searched on Google and it doesn't say anything about Jameer Young having a brother on the Maryland team.
Well, so. What a coincidence then. Yeah. What a coincidence that they get another Jay Young coming in. Maybe he's the answer for the three-point shooting.
Maybe.
Keep an eye on Jalen Young, not related to Jameer.
Rodney Rice was 33% 2 years ago in 2022, 2023. I mean, maybe he's gotten up to be a better shooter, but yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like Kevin Willard went out and found an ace shooter that can really help their team this year. We'll see, but doesn't seem like it. So my starting lineup, Jacoby Gillespie, I think Miguel, Deshaun Harris-Smith, Julian Reese at the four, and then Derek Queen at the five. You ready to move on to UCLA?
Who'd you say four?
Julian Reese.
Okay, yeah.
You ready to move
same
on
to I just put Geronimo in front of Harris Smith and like I don't know, interchangeable I guess, but yeah, I think you're right, like he's probably going to start. I just like Jordan Geronimo, like I said, he's not like set in stone, like could be like a power forward that you can rely on, but he makes certain plays in games that are X factor plays that decide games, so I just like
him
for that reason.
It's just not consistent enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Deshaun Harris-Smith has that ability to be consistent if Willard can get it out of him, but that's the thing. All right, moving on. UCLA, the UCLA Bruins. So, Kent, for me, I have a number of transfers starting for them this year. I do think the point guard is going to be a returning point guard. Dylan Andrews, he was good for him last year. I mean, obviously, it wasn't a great team, so I can't say he was fantastic or anything like that, but I think he had a pretty good year. He's looking to build off that this year. You agree, Dylan Andrews, starting point guard?
Yeah, he was really good. They had a couple guys that are coming back that were really good for them last year. So, yeah, I'll let you continue on to shooting guard, though.
Like I said, I think he was good. It's just like when you're that bad, can anybody be really good for you? You know, like that's the hard thing about it. So, no, at the two guard, I have Sky Clark, and then I also have Kobe Johnson at the three, Lazar Stefanovic at the four, and then the big man coming in from Oregon State, Tyler Bilodeau, however you pronounce that. You have any
this lineup
there?
Is very good, by the way. Like, yeah. I would not want to play. If I was not a UCLA fan, I would not want to see them come to town. Like, that is a very, very good lineup that they're going to be rolling out there. I'm very excited to see it. But I do agree with you at every position. The only one that, like, again, it's only because maybe I'm just thinking this way and basketball coaches don't do this. But, like, if I'm Mick Cronin, it's like, all right, Sebastian Mack, thanks for averaging double digits for us last year. Come on down, Sky Clark. You're the starting shooting guard now. Like, if I'm him, I'm like, all right, dude, I'm leaving then. Bye.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, every single player on the starting lineup scored 10 points or more per game last year. Like, this is not going to be your Mick Cronin team in the past where it's all defense and nobody's going to, nobody's going to contribute on the offense. The antithesis of Iowa, right? This is not going to be your UCLA team that's like that. Kobe Johnson, I think he is actually the yeah, he's scoring the least amount of points. Last year he was 10.9, but he's a lockdown defender. So, I mean, this is a fantastic player to add into your lineup. He has some scoring, but he also has that defensive lockdown ability that you need. I don't know how to feel about Sky Clark. Obviously, you know, at Louisville was not good again last year. I don't know if Sky Clark was a huge piece of why that was, but I know that the turnovers were definitely an issue with him last year. If he can cut down on the turnovers this year, that's going to be a big help, and I think he has to. I don't think Mick Cronin is going to play him if he doesn't, right? I mean, that's the kind of coach Mick Cronin has always struck me as, is if you don't take care of the ball, you're not going to play.
No, and he doesn't have to either. That's the other thing. Like, he's got so many guys ready to come in and take over that position that, like, he's not going to have to do that. Like, you know, Trent Perry is going to be a good player for them. Like, all right, sit down, Sky Clark. We'll put Trent in. We'll put Sebastian back in. We'll put, like, there's so many good guards on this team. Like, they don't need him to play. Like, if he's got, you know, the only thing I would ever hear about Sky Clark is that he's not great for the locker room, is a nice way to put it, I guess. So if he's got any sort of attitude adjusting that needs to be done, it will be done while he's sitting on the bench for sure, because it's not like they need him. Like, he's going to be helpful. He can be great for them and he can make them better, but they're not going to be like, oh my gosh, no, Sky, we have to take you out for a little bit. They're going to be fine without him.
Yeah. I mean, like that is really one of the only big deficiencies I see on this team that could possibly impact them. Now, some of these guys have gotten in foul trouble over the years. Last year, I think all of them averaged, Dylan Andrews averaged 1.9. Everybody else averaged over 2 fouls per game. So you do want to be careful of that. You can't be losing your entire starting lineup and getting all of them in foul trouble. That was a big issue for Tyler Bilodeau. 3 fouls per game last year. You can't have that. You have to be able to stay in the game, especially in the Big Ten, where you're going to have big men going after you. Now, we won't have the foul menace in Zach Edey going after people, so that's going to be helpful for him. But, I mean, there's still big men in this league that if you let them, they will get you in foul trouble as quickly as possible.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I totally agree. I was going to add something else to it, but it's kind of off topic. So, yeah, I agree with you.
All good.
Realized how many more teams we have to get through, and I was like, I'm not going to go down that road.
All right. I really don't think there's too much more to discuss here with UCLA. Great starting lineup.
A lot
of good players coming off the bench. You have Sebastian Mack. Like you said, Trent Perry, he could be a big impact this year. You have a lot of good players here that could make
it. I'll end with this about UCLA. I feel like if you're not a UCLA fan and you haven't watched them play a lot and you don't already hate them, like some people might just be like, oh, I already hate Mick Cronin, I hate UCLA, whatever. If you're open-minded and you're just a big basketball fan, you are going to love this team, I think. I really do. I think you're going to really like this team. So I'm excited about them.
I am too. I think it's going to be a good team. All right. Let's do a commercial really fast, Kent, and then we'll come back and we will talk about Rutgers. A lot of fun there. Be right back. CBB Analytics isn't just another stat site. It's your ultimate destination for in-depth college basketball analysis used by fans and even the coaches. It has comprehensive stats for men's and women's basketball across Division 1 through 3 dating all the way back to 2018. From shooting percentage to game recap, CBB Analytics has it all. Try CBB Analytics for free or pay for a tier to take your basketball knowledge to the next level. Welcome back. The Big Ten Huddle, JR and Kent, Casual Big Ten, here with you. Oh, I forgot to switch that. There we go. We're going to be talking some Rutgers starting lineup now. Kent, I'm going to let you start with this one. Who in the world is going to be the point guard for Rutgers this year? I have no idea who's going to be the point guard. It seems like this is such a spot that nobody can fill on this team.
I mean, there's two spots, obviously, that are instantly filled and, like, I would predict unless there's an injury, they will be filled for every single game. Like, these are spots that are not going to be challenged. Like, obviously Dylan and Ace are both going to be in their respective positions at 1 and 4. So I think that we're solid on those ones. And then, you know, if you're a Rutgers fan, which I am, by the way, I love Rutgers. I'm not, that's not my team, but I love Rutgers. that's such a great base to build around. Like, you're like, okay, I just got to fill in these other three positions with some serviceable guys, which they have, and they're competitive. And I know we didn't mention them at the top of the show as like one of those teams in the top tier, but my mind can get changed real quick just by watching a few games. So again, some of the teams like I'm worried about that we've been talking about, and this is not one of them. I think that they're going to be ultra competitive and really fun to watch this year.
I agree. I was a little thrown off by Phillip's comment here. He is projecting that Jeremiah Williams is going to be at point guard and that you'll see Dylan Harper as the two guard. I can't say I agree with you there, Phillip. I feel like they're going to put Dylan Harper at point guard and have Jeremiah Williams off the ball, either at the two or the three. I would think the three. I think Jamichael Davis is probably your two on this team. Do you see what Phillip is saying here, Kent, or what do you think?
Unfortunately, this might be the first time in history I disagree with a Phillip comment. Yeah. Did Jeremiah Williams play any PG last year? Like, I don't remember like him.
Let me check Ken Palm. I
know bringing it up very often or like the
offense. Well, he started the year late. Remember, he played in like 12 games because of the whole suspension thing. He did handle the ball 7% of the time for Ken Palm last year, which since he only played in 12 games, you could average that out to a little
does that
more.
Like that's an interesting stat. Does that mean like that's how often he had the ball in his hands or like when he was bringing it up?
That's how often when he was in the game, he was the primary ball handler.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So I must have missed. I mean, like, yeah, that's about the percentage I guess I would have projected that to be because I don't remember it happening at all. That's a really low percentage.
I mean, Derek Simpson was still the primary guy. Like when you get to the most frequent lineups over the past five games to end the year, Derek Simpson was your primary ball handler in the top five lineups. And then it's Jeremiah Smith six. And then the rest of them is Derek Simpson. Or Noah Fernandez was one time down there, but still, like, out of the eight of the 10 possible lineups for Rutgers last year in the past five games, Jeremiah Smith was the primary ball handler for one.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's Dylan as well.
Yeah, Phillip says Jeremiah sparked the winning streak late in the year for Rutgers. I agree. Don't get me wrong. I agree. He was the offensive piece for that team last year. I just think the difference is that you actually have offensive pieces on this team last year, i.e. Dylan Harper, who I believe is going to be that primary ball handler. But we'll see. Phillip, if you're right, I'll give you your props when it happens. So,
yeah, me too. I will remember that too. Like, I'm not like I'm going to like hold Phillip's feet to the fire or anything. Like, you were wrong about that. But like, it's going to be in the back of my mind, like when Rutgers starts playing, like, all right, wait a second. Who is actually their point guard now?
Yeah, we'll remember.
Because I didn't even consider that as an option.
Yeah, we'll remember it, and I'm sure we'll reference it. Whatever happens. All right, so that's my prediction: Dylan Harper as the point guard, Jamichael Davis as the two, Jeremiah Williams at the three, and then I think you have Ace Bailey as that four, the other big man, and then your big man is Emmanuel Ogbol, who played 10 games last year, didn't play a whole lot, but I think he's going to come back this year and start for him. I wish Cliff Amorier was on this team.
Oh my God, dude! Don't I'm too excited now.
Where's he at? Man, now? That would have been Alabama or something.
Yeah, Alabama. That would have been so fun, though, man.
Yeah, oh, it would have been.
You just ruined my night.
Well, sorry, I didn't mean to do that to you.
How dare you? Now, if he was on this team, I would have them in that top tier that we were talking about earlier, for sure. For sure,
yeah,
that would be the best lineup. That would be the best lineup. Like, regardless of who plays, like. Regardless of who the two is, I think that if Williams is at the three and Harper's one and Bailey's four with Cliff at the five, that would be the best lineup in the conference right off the rip, I think.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the freshmen live up to expectations, which I think Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper will, but you just never know in the college basketball today. Like, these are the only two true freshmen that I have starting. Oh, wait. No, I have one more. True freshman starting this season. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, like, gone are the days of true freshmen coming in and just dominating all of college basketball. You have to be a special talent to be able to come in and dominate. I think Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey have that ability, especially on a team like Rutgers where they're going to be so much usage, but we'll see. It's always going to be interesting to see freshmen.
I think that Ace Bailey is that special. I really do. Like, I think he's going to be one of those guys where you're like, all right, he's different than even like the Big Ten guys that he's playing against. I think he has that much talent. And, you know, I'm not going to say he's going to open people's eyes because like everybody knows about him and everyone knows like how highly recruited he was. But I think people are going to be shocked at how good he actually is once the games start playing and how like how fast and athletic and how high he's jumping compared to everybody else that's already super athletic in this conference. Like, man,
he's a freshman you would normally see on a Duke or a North Carolina or Kentucky, who is now on Rutgers, right?
Exactly. That's a great analogy. That's a better way to put it. Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy to see him play. All right. We got Blue Wolverine in the house. Blue Wolverine, you made it just in time because you know who we're talking about next. Your favorite team. I know it. Ohio State. we appreciate you being here, Blue Wolverine. So we're going to talk about Ohio State here. For me, actually, Kent, like, I know I follow Ohio State the most out of all these teams, but even if I didn't follow Ohio State the most, this would be the easiest starting lineup for me to put together in the conference. I mean, literally, I don't think there was, and maybe Purdue was easier, but this is, for me, pretty much the easiest starting lineup. You got Bruce Thornton, point guard, Michi Johnson, the transfer from South Carolina, shooting guard, small forward. You have Micah Parrish from San Diego State, Sean Stewart, and Aaron Bradshaw at the four and the five. Do you disagree?
No.
Yeah.
I do not.
Honestly, I don't really know if I have much to say other than, like, it's going to be interesting what Jake Diebler does with these guys and having so many transfers come in, because one of the reasons why you hired Jake Diebler was for him to keep the guys around, right? Keep Roddy Gale around, keep Felix Okpara around. I still got Cliff Amoria in the brain. Keep Felix Okpara around. This is why you hired Jake Diebler, at least in my mind, but he wasn't able to keep those guys around. Now, I still think he went out and found really good players, and he hasn't committed, so playing on the team this year, so I can't really fault the guy. However, it is much different for this team to be what they look like they're going to be from what I thought they were going to be at the end of the season last year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would say I'm like looking up and down like some of the guys that are backups, and like, you know, when we're doing a show like this, it's almost like I'm trying to convince myself to make an argument for something, and I can't really do it with this lineup. However, I will say that a guy that stands out to me now and again when he's on the basketball court would be Devin Royal, I think, would be the next guy up, I guess.
Oh, he's a six man for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess keep an eye on him. But like, again, like you said, I don't think he's going to be in the starting lineup, but he's still a really good player, though, and he can show flashes of greatness. So like, just keep an eye out for Devin Royal as well.
If he found his shot, he could play the three. I mean, I think last year he played the three a little bit, but if he doesn't have the shot, he's not going to play three. They need shooting on this team. Michi Johnson's a good shooter. He's going to shoot some balls from half court. That's just what Michi Johnson does. But you know, it's not exactly the knockdown shooter that you want in to counteract not having a shooter on the floor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be the only other guy I'd even mention on this team as like sniffing a starting lineup, but cause it's pretty solid across the board already.
Yeah.
Really excited to see Thornton play again too. Like, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I love his game
a lot. It's just hard.
I know we're just doing lineups, but I started thinking about these guys from last year and I'm like, man, cannot wait for this season to start again.
I agree. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. We're going to hit a break really fast, and then we'll come back and talk Phillip's team, Illinois. And I'm sure Phillip will have thoughts on his starting lineup. So, Phillip, go ahead and put it in the chat. Let us know what your starting lineup is going to be, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about him. The Big Ten Huddle is brought to you by the College Huddle, the largest fan-led college sports podcast community on the internet. With contributors from 70 different schools, you will get in all kinds of analysis from all over the country. Go visit thecollegehuddle.com to find your team and read articles from all across so many fans and contributors. The College Huddle is fan-made, fan-driven, and fan-fueled. Back here on the Big Ten Huddle, we are going to be talking about Illinois' starting lineup this season, and this might have been the most difficult one for me to put together, Kent. Just a lot of new players, a lot of new faces. I thought about Merez Johnson at some point, but I was like, no. I mean, I don't think they're going to put him in the lineup here. However, I do have my other true freshman starting in this one. But, Kent, I'm going to let you go first with the point guard. Who do you see as the point guard for Illinois this season?
I think it's going to be – in fact, this is the position I think I'm most confident about on this team. I think it's Kylan Boswell for sure at point guard.
Yeah, that's who I had.
Yeah, he'll be the starter in my mind without a doubt. I don't think there's anybody else that's going to be – you know, challenge. I mean, obviously they're going to have backups and stuff like that, but like he's definitely the starting point guard. It's everything after that where it gets like, you know, there's such a talented roster and they're so deep and there's so many unknowns about like what's happening with guys stepping forward and what will freshmen do and stuff like that. But it's all like good though. If you're an Illinois fan, it's all like, okay, these guys are either going to be good or great. And the other guy behind him is either going to be good or great. And then we'll find out who the starters are. Like at that point, to me, like, I really like this team. I think they're going to be great this year. So, but yeah, Kylan's going to be running the show though.
I'm curious. Phillip does not have Booth in here. I thought Booth would, be contending for that spot. Parrish, Jack Juanas, Will Riley, Humercris.
Boswell. Man, you are murdering these names, dude.
I am. This is gonna you got to start doing first for me at Illinois.
Okay, so again, I think I don't say it perfectly for Kasparis, but I think it's Jakub Konis, and then yeah. Humrickhaus, I think is how you pronounce Ben's last name.
We need some nicknames. Who was it? KJ.
The Hummer.
Was that one of the nicknames?
Who
was it? KJ was one of the nicknames.
Oh yeah. It was Kasparis was gonna be KJ.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I'll need that.
Or Kasparis.
Yeah, and then, of course, Ivisic, he does have his eligibility concern right now. We'll see what happens. And Phillip thinks if it's not him, it's Morez Johnson. I honestly, I got Kerry Booth in my starting lineup. Maybe I'm missing something. Am I missing something here, Kent?
I think you are because I mentioned that to – I don't know if Sonny's still watching or not, but I mentioned Kerry Booth to Sonny, and he had – I believe, and I think the funny thing is, I think we're going to talk about this tomorrow on his show too, like a little bit more in depth maybe than we even are, but you know what? I'm not going to say what he said because he's about to talk about it tomorrow, but I don't think he has Kerry Booth at his center though. Hmm. Now, here's what I'll say. I'll still put him at mine though. I think that if I'm building the starting lineup right now, I'll keep Kerry Booth there. I'll agree with you. But I think the people that follow maybe Illinois and maybe a little bit more inside know that he's not going to be the starter.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course.
Is that fair?
What'd you say?
I said, is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I did have some question about Kerry Booth, but I just thought going into it, like this, he's got the experience. He should be the guy starting. Like, I don't think he's going to be the center that plays the most minutes. This could be one of those situations where, like, he starts, but he isn't your primary, five-man for the entire game. We'll see, but I do think Merez Johnson is going to see a lot of time. I do think that it's a big question what happens with Ivisic in his eligibility. So if he's able to start, then you know I think Merez Johnson suffers a little bit in his minutes. But if not, Merez is going to have to come in. He's going to have to play the four and the five. He's going to have a lot more opportunity. I think Humrickhaus.
Now you got me mispronouncing it. I feel like I used to know how to say it.
I think he's a lock for four. I've seen some people saying Trey White at four. I don't buy that. Humrickhaus, he is the way better player. I'm just going to say Ben. Ben is the way better player in my mind. He provides the shooting that you want, especially with what we've seen Brad Underwood like to do with his four man. So I think you have to have that. Yeah, Phillip helped me on the chat. I appreciate it, Phillip. And then for me, probably the biggest question outside of the five man is this four man spot, right? I mean, to me, like you have to think this is Ty Rogers, you know, opportunity. He's not really been starting, but you know, he's got the size. I think he has the ability, but everything I'm reading says it's not going to be him. So I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know how I should say this, but I've never really loved Ty Rogers as a player. I don't know what it is about
him.
He's
a good rebounder. He's athletic and he plays good defense, but
I don't know what it is.
I don't think that's what Brad Underwood wants out of his three man, right?
Maybe I'm just a mean person, and that's why I don't like him. Maybe that's why. But I don't have him. I wouldn't want him starting if it was my team. I'll put it to you that way. Now, I saw a video last night where he was like draining threes in some gym. And I think he had a teammate with him. I couldn't remember who it was, though. So, like, I'm very influenceable. I saw him hitting those threes, and I was like, wait a minute, is this guy going to be a knockdown shooter this year? Maybe I do want him in my starting lineup. So, you know, if he's adding stuff to his game and he's improved again, I can switch my mind real quick, and I'll turn around and I'll like say, oh, man, I do like this guy a lot now this year. But as of right now, I wouldn't want him in the starting lineup. That's just me, though.
Yeah, I think you want Will Riley in there, like Phillip said. I think that's your guy. I think you have to put Will Riley in there. He's coming in. He was a five-star recruit, and he came in late June, but you know, he reclassified to this class, and I think that's what you want to do eventually. So why not just do it right off the bat? That's Brad Underwood's MO in my mind. So
yeah. So if I went down my lineup real quick, it would be Boswell, Jacque Yukonis, Will Riley, Humrickhouse, and then Booth. But like I said, I think the only one that I'll be for sure wrong about is Booth. Just from some of the other stuff that I've been hearing, like you said, there's a lot that could happen at that position. But I really like those first four, though. Like those first four, that's a great lineup. And then, you know, whoever they put at center, the thing is about the center spot, like they really just need somebody that can rebound and play defense. Like they're not going to be asking their center to score 15, 18 points a game. They won't ask their center to score 15 or 18 points in any game this year, I don't think. You know, they don't need that. They're going to have so much more scoring at those other positions. And so to me, it like almost doesn't even matter who you say at that position. I think Kerry Booth's solid, though. So I feel like I like him at that spot because of that reason. Like, you're not expecting him to do a ton of scoring. So it's like, well, he's a solid player already. Like, let's put him around these other really great players and just let him kind of do what he can in that lineup, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, no, I agree. It'll be really interesting to see Will Riley, Ty Rogers, Kerry Booth,
Johnson,
yeah, all those guys. It'll be really interesting to see what they do this season. So
they're going to be dangerous.
They are. If Brad Underwood can get them all working together, and Brad we trust, we'll see. All right, let's move on to Nebraska, Kent. Nebraska ball is back. You don't believe in Nebraska. Do you still not believe in Nebraska this season?
I don't. I don't believe in them at all.
Yeah, you Cornhusker hater.
I don't know if they'll be at the Big Ten tournament. That's how much I don't believe in them.
Do you think Connor Asigian starts for him this season?
I think he might have to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. I don't know.
That's why he transferred there. I think, coach's name is escaping me right now. The head coach for Nebraska, I think he probably promised Connor Asigian that he would start or at least get starter minutes.
Like the crazy thing though is like I know we're about to or we did we talk about Wisconsin last year or last week?
Yeah.
Okay. Like if he would have stayed at Wisconsin, he would have had to start there too. Like I feel like he could have probably started at either one of those schools, and like those are probably the two schools for sure. I mean, I feel there's a couple other ones that I think he could start at, but like there's not a lot of schools in the Big Ten that he would be starting at. These are two of them, I think. That's my opinion. He's not getting in the starting lineup on that Illinois roster we just talked about.
No.
Heavens no.
There's no way.
So like, I don't know.
Phillip reminded me. Yes, Avistic, I forgot about that. And KJ, they are starters, but since they're foreign, I totally forgot about the fact that they're actually freshman. Will Riley was the other starter I was thinking about. That's a freshman. So and then there we go. Hoiberg. Thanks, Phillip. Appreciate that. I think on top of a season, you have Worcester coming in from Utah. I think he's going to be your starting point guard this season. You have to start Juwan Gary. Hopefully he doesn't get injured this season, but you have to have him in this lineup. Of course, Rank Mass is out, so you're not going to be having him as your five man. Braxton Mihi, however you pronounce it, he's coming in from Washington, 7'1", big dude. He's not going to be a replacement for Rank Mass. It's going to be difficult this season, Nebraska not having him on the court. And then my four man is Bryce Williams.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that, but I was trying to formulate an Aaron Ulis betting joke right here about him betting to get into the starting lineup, and I just couldn't think of one. So, Aaron Ulis betting. There's the joke right there. I don't know what it would have been.
I think of Tyler Ulis when you talk about Ulis.
Who's that?
Didn't he play for Iowa a couple years ago?
No, that was him, dude. That was Aaron.
Oh, maybe I made up Tyler Ulis. There must be somebody else with a close name. I can't remember.
No, this Aaron Ulis was the Iowa guy. That's who I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
That got in trouble for the betting stuff, didn't he? I can't remember exactly what he got in trouble for, but it was something to do with gambling, though, I believe.
Yeah.
Am I putting dirt on his name right now, and that wasn't him?
No, you might be right.
Yeah, no, it was him. I think that's why he had to sit out last year.
Yeah.
But anyways,
there were so many guys that got in trouble in football and basketball with the betting stuff that honestly I couldn't even keep it straight.
Yeah. Well, he's for sure the guy from Iowa, and he for sure did not play basketball last year. And he did something with gambling, whether I don't know if he actually did it. I mean, I'm pretty sure he did it. So anyways, it doesn't matter. I think that lineup is correct though. You said Worcester and then Asijan at two then?
Yep.
And then Gary and Williams and May. How do you say his last name? Braxton?
You're asking the wrong guy. Mia?
Yeah. May? It doesn't matter. Like you said, with Mast gone, like that position's going to be a hole, to say it nicely. Like they're going to have some issues at that position regardless. And, you know, with him going down, with Tominaga not being there this year, I'm just looking at this team and going, man, this is just primed for a letdown season. They're going to be asking Juwan Gary to be doing a lot of the heavy lifting, I feel like. Bryce Williams is not going to roll out of bed and give you 20 points a game. He's not going to be able to do it. He can give you 20 points in a game, but he can't do it every game. And I just don't see where the scoring's coming from, like with those two guys gone. So, again, I know we're not doing full breakdowns. We're just doing the roster or the starting lineup. But I think that you got the starting lineup correct on this one. This one actually might have been easier than Ohio State.
I mean, I think the five man has a little bit of leeway there. Philip is saying, which please, for all that is good in the world, do not start Bayou Kent Tunkel. Please do not start him. He has to have a nickname for me if they start him. So, I mean, the five man there could be Burke. I can say Burke. So the five man him between Burke, and then he has Forrester starting here. So
where is he from? Where's Burke from?
Oh, I forget.
I'm not familiar with his game, as Shaq would say. UCLA.
UCLA. That's right.
Hmm.
Yeah. 6'9". I just think you have the huge big man who has experience in Mia coming in from Washington. I just think you have to go with him, at least to start.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
And again, I don't think it matters at that position. I think they're going to be in trouble anyways, no matter who they put there.
Yeah, they're going to be in trouble this season. So one more commercial break, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about USC. Homefield is your go-to destination for premium collegiate apparel with a passion for comfort and a flair for vintage design. Homefield brings you gear that is comfortable and stylish. With over 150 colleges to choose from, Homefield digs deep into the archives, uncovering forgotten logos, iconic mascots, and legendary moments to create one-of-a-kind apparel. Use my code TBTH for 15% off for new customers, or use my link in the description. Back here on the Big Ten Huddle, Kent, we have our old friend on USC. To me, this is the all-transfer team. This is Eric Musselman. He went out, he got his all-transfer team, and I think it's going to be all-transfer starting this one. And one of them, Terrence Williams from Michigan last year. You think Terrence Williams is going to be starting for him?
I don't want to see him play basketball ever again.
He started what? I think he started every game for Michigan last year, didn't he?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
You don't want to talk about it, huh?
I just don't. Man, he's just so bad. He was so bad. He was so bad. I don't know. Good. Well, best of luck to him. I'm not trying to, like, again, I hate to, like, talk badly about, you know, someone that's younger than me playing basketball at a higher level than I ever did, obviously. But, like, he made Michigan lose a lot of games, I feel like, with how bad he was.
I mean, I think he had moments last year. Like there was some things that he did that wasn't awful. But yeah, I mean, he was not somebody that Juwan Howard could trust. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of players on that team you could trust last year.
I'm looking at their lineup right now, though. Like, is he going to start? Like, that would be bad.
I mean, who else is going to start for him?
I don't know.
At this point, you just have a big jumbled mess of transfers. They have nobody. They have one player returning. Hornery is the only one returning. 3.3 points per game. He's not starting.
Yikes.
This is going to be an all-transfer starting lineup here. Eric Musselman, yeah. It's going to be amazing if this team is in the top half of the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think they have some like decent pieces that are coming in, though, but I can't even project a starting lineup for this one. It's really difficult. Like, so I kind of just defer to you on this one. What are you thinking right now?
I mean, I just went with the scores, basically. I went with Desmond Cloud for coming in from Xavier, 16.6 points per game. I went with St. Thomas from Northern Colorado. He had actually 20.1 points per game. And then I actually went with Terrence Williams, 12.4 points per game. He actually was a good three-point shooter last year, nearly 40%. And then Josh Cohen, 15.9 points per game, the forward who I think will play the five for them. He's a little undersized, but I think he'll probably play the five for him. And he was from Massachusetts. And then Clark Slagchurf, however you pronounce that, I think, or Slagchurt. He from Penn, 18.1 points per game. So these are all lower, I guess, not all of them, one from the Big East and one from the Big Ten. But, you know, no Big Ten guys, no Big 12 guys or anything like that. These are, for the most part, lower conference players.
I'm wondering why no one stuck around. Like, they could have built something a little bit better than what they're about to put out this year. I feel like if they could have held on to like Collier and, you know, Kobe Johnson, guys like that, like they could have really built a decent, solid team for next year. But
if only
I don't know how good this is going to be. It's like the land of the misfit toys right now. It's like, how do all these pieces go together to making a Big Ten basketball team? Good luck.
Would LeBron's son be starting on this team if he came back? I think you would.
He plays the three, right?
What?
He plays three, right?
Yeah, two, three.
I mean, I would start him over Terrence Williams, yes. You're talking Terrence about Williams, an NBA basketball player right now, JR.
Oh, yeah.
He made it to the NBA.
Yeah, he totally earned that spot with everything that he did in college, too. So... Philip is saying what I was saying. Williams was a capable shooter last year, but that was about it.
He was a turnover machine too.
1.1 turnovers per game. What if we average that out to 40? Let me check really fast.
100 per 40 minutes.
The 40 numbers aren't good. Never mind. Go back to per game. You want to know who was actually a turnover, like a crazy turnover per game, was St. Thomas, who had 3.1 turnovers per game.
Yikes.
Last year. Like on CB Analytics, it gives you the little box next to it to indicate how bad it is. His is red. Worst possible.
That's a match made in heaven then in that front court. Like if Terrence is playing small forward and St. Thomas is up, they're just going to be fumbling that thing around, I feel like. Maybe his stats don't say it, but like my eyeballs tell me a different thing. Like Terrence is like when he's in the game, and I hate to like just like keep talking about this point, but I don't know what his plus minus is. You probably have it pulled up, but it just feels like
negative
when he's in the game,
154.
What was it?
Negative 154.
Holy.
His box is also red.
Okay. So maybe that's more my point that I'm trying to get at. Like, when he's in the game, things do not go well. So, if he's in the game with a guy that's turning it over a lot, man, that's going to be trouble for them. It's going to be trouble. I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, their other guys did have better plus minuses. Clark Slagchurt was the next worst with a 5, plus 5 in his. And, I mean, that's about middle of the pack for most of everybody who played last year. So, he's come from Penn. So, I don't know. Honestly, like this USC one, I just kind of threw my hands up in the air and I was like, let's go with the guys who scored the most points.
Makes sense.
So the only one that I didn't go with was, what's that, Bryce Pope. He was one of the only ones that I didn't do that with. So, all right, our last one, Kent. Kent, we, man, we're making good time today. For one of the first,
I know we did this way faster than last week for sure.
But it's our favorite team, so we might spend 30 minutes on them.
Yeah, I'm going to talk at least for 17 minutes about Parker Fox. So if you guys could just hold the floor for a second, I will finish up here in just a couple minutes here.
Well, but is Parker Fox starting, or is he going to be that energy off the bench? He's a big energizer coming off the bench, Kent.
I think he thrives in that energizer role. So, like, he's going to come off the bench still.
Yeah.
Like, he's the type of guy that doesn't need that much attention. You know, he's just such a nice guy. He's, like, a good person. And, like, Coach Johnson comes in, he's like, you want to start today? And he's like, no, Coach, like, let the younger guys do it. Like, I've started before in my life. It's not a big deal. And he just is such a nice guy. That's why he doesn't start. Otherwise, he would definitely be starting. I mean, he is their best player. So, like, he should be starting.
We'll have to have him on the podcast at some point.
We will. We'll get him on there.
Yeah.
On here.
All right. So, Mike Mitchell, Dawson Garcia, definitely starting, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Where do you?
For some reason, I was thinking for a minute that Mike Mitchell left, but I guess he's back. I don't know why I thought that.
I don't think he entered the portal. I think there were a bunch of rumors about him. It was funny. The guys who were rumored the most to leave did not leave, and the guys who's the little point guard last year? His name is
Hawkins.
Too. Hawkins. He announced that he was staying, and then he entered the portal.
Yeah,
I've never trusted another player again when they announce that they're staying.
Again, like, I know I was just talking about this with USC, but, like, what an incredible lineup they could have. They could have had a great team this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and, you know, just the guys that left right there is an amazing Big Ten basketball team that, like, would have really competed to win it, I think. Like,
yeah,
if they just got the guys that they had last year to come back for one more season and they just couldn't do it. And it's sad, really, you know.
Yeah. Phillips asking Mitchell squared. Yes, I think Frank Mitchell will be your big man. And I think Mike Mitchell, junior, forgot to say junior the first time, will be your two guard. So, yes, we will have Mitchell squared this season, I believe.
And I know I've mentioned this on the show before, too. I'm really coming off like a huge Minnesota fan because I feel like I have the most information about them. But Frank Mitchell is a beast. Like, he played at Kinesis, but, like, he's going to fit right into the Big Ten. I feel like he's going to be fine. Dude is a monster. He's going to be great.
This is going to be a very strong offensive rebounding team. Frank Mitchell averaged over 4 offensive rebounds per game. And then you have Femi Odukal, who I think is going to be the 4-man for them. He averaged 1.9 offensive rebounds per game. And then you had Dawson Garcia with 1.7 offensive rebounds per game last year. So if those numbers stay correct, that's what? 7.7 offensive rebounds per game just among those three, not even counting Mike Mitchell and Lucene Patterson, who I think is going to be your point guard this season. Like, if you have a starting lineup of 3 players that is getting 7.7 offensive rebounds per game, wow.
Yeah, that would be incredible. Like, and they're going to have to, too. Like, they're going to have to beat guys, like, to the ball, like, after they miss shots. Because, number one, they are going to miss a lot of shots. And, number two, like, that's the only way I feel like they're not going to, like, out-physical people. It's going to have to be with effort. Like, Frank Mitchell is going to be the only guy, I feel like, on this team that's going to, every game, be stronger than the guy he's guarding, possibly. Maybe yeah. Dawson Garcia in a couple games, but, like, that's how they're going to have to win games. It's going to have to be the second chance effort points. Is kind of like how I see them pulling off maybe some upsets this year, is doing it that way.
No, I totally agree. I'm really interested in this Caleb Williams that they have coming in from the D3 McAllister school. I will admittedly say I don't know a ton about him. I didn't, you know, watch McAllister a whole lot last year. But
yeah, he's actually... he plays for the Bears too, the Chicago Bears, and he plays quarterback for them. And then when they don't have games or practice, he's going to come up and play basketball for Minnesota. I'm surprised you haven't heard of Caleb Williams. That's interesting.
Well, I've heard of the guy who paints his nails, but I don't know.
Wait, this is there's another Caleb Williams? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. I do also want to touch on Brendan Rigsby, the I think from Oregon. I struggled with him a little bit and Lucene Patterson to come in, but I think Lucene Patterson, I mean, he had much more production last year, albeit at a lower level, but I mean, Brendan Rigsby could be the starting point guard here as well.
I would say that I'd be shocked if he wasn't, only because there was no reason for him to transfer to Minnesota unless he was like almost guaranteed a starting spot. Like, he could have stayed in that Oregon offense and been fine, or in that starting lineup, I guess I should say, and possibly been a starter out there. There was no reason for him to just come to Minnesota just to do the same thing, like be a backup. I don't get that at all. So, if I'm transferring and I'm going to Minnesota, I would expect to be a starter. No, that's not a shot at Minnesota either. It's just like he basically made a lateral move in the Big Ten to not be a starter. Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I look at Lucene Patterson and I look at his production, started every game last year, and I say, you know, you have a guy here who could be like an Elijah Hawkins a little bit. He is obviously bigger, so it's not like he's, small and quick like Elijah Hawkins, but I mean, he is pretty quick, and he did get a number of good steals last year. So again, this is also going to be a starting lineup that gets a lot of steals. Mike Mitchell Jr. had 1.5 steals per game, Dawson Garcia 0.8, Lucene Patterson 1, Frank Mitchell 0.7, from your five man, you can get 0.7 steals per game. That's fantastic. And then Femi Odukal with 1.1. So, I mean, all these guys are averaging nearly over one steals per game, other than Dawson Garcia and Frank Mitchell, which those are big men, so you're going to get that. But that would be really cool to see.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch this team, I think, still, because they're still in that same position they were in last year. They're just going to be a bunch of guys that like are going to be easy to cheer for, I think, and they're always going to be underdogs. So, like, you know, a casual fan like myself, I find myself cheering for the team that's kind of the underdog the most and the most often. So I feel like I'm going to be right back in the same boat, if you will, with Minnesota, and I might be rowing.
Row the boat. There we go. Philip asks, Minnesota misses the tournament. Is Ben Johnson gone? I tend to say no, just because of the expectations there. What do you think, Kent?
No, definitely not. Like, expectations, one, but also, like, I feel like he's almost exceeded his expectations. I mean, I don't know. It's arguable. Like, when you actually, like, take a step back and look at, you know, what they've done each season and what they've accomplished, it feels like in the moment he's exceeding them. Like, when we go through a season like last year, like some of the roller coaster ride I felt like I was on watching Minnesota, I was like, man, Ben Johnson's doing a great job. And I did not expect that this year. Previous year, I was pretty bad. But I think that he's got them on the right path as best as he can with, like, the guys that he has. So I wouldn't say that he's gone if he doesn't make the tournament next year. In fact, I wouldn't anticipate them to make the tournament next year. I don't think that's, you know, if they made the tournament, that would actually be more surprising to me.
Yeah, the last time they made the tournament was 2019 before COVID under Richard Pitino. And then Pitino had two bad seasons and he got canned. Or did he get, he got fired, right? Or did he leave?
No,
he,
I don't know if that, like, I can't remember that year if he did or if he just left.
Yeah, and then Ben Johnson, he had two losing seasons in a row, 13-17, 9-22, and then this last season he was 19-15. So, I mean, that's your first winning season since 2018, 2019. I mean, I think if you're honest about the Minnesota program and, you know, what you put your money into, I mean, they're putting their money way more into hockey than they are basketball. I think it's more likely Ben Johnson leaves rather than Ben Johnson be fired.
Ooh, I kind of like that take.
I mean,
I don't think either one's going to happen, though.
No, I don't think so either. I'm not.
Like, I think he's the right guy for that job. Like, you know, people aren't really. Not that Minnesota's a bad job. It's not. But I don't think, like, the higher level coaches are, like, knocking down the door to try to get to Minnesota and go spend their winters there. you know.
Well, and the recruiting's awful as well.
Yeah, so I feel like a guy like Ben Johnson, who is very passionate about Minnesota and has them on the right trajectory, I don't put him on. I think we did like a hot seat episode a while back, and like he was very low on my list. I don't think that he's, I don't know. Or he was middle on the list, I think, because there was a couple other guys that were even lower than him. But like, yeah, I like him at Minnesota. I hope he stays forever, man. Like, it'd be nice to have like some consistency at some of these teams where coaches aren't leaving every year or getting fired just because they're having a bad year. Maybe not as much consistency as a team like Iowa, but it'd be nice to have some consistency.
You want Purdue consistency?
I like Purdue consistency, yeah. That's pretty solid. I would like that.
Yeah, and I know what everybody will say. I know everybody will say, oh, Ben Johnson, he played at Northwest or at Minnesota, so there's no reason he's going to leave. Well, he also played at Northwestern, too. So he played at Northwestern for 2 years and then transferred to Minnesota. So, I do think at some point, like, if he has a good season this year, like, if somehow Minnesota makes the tournament this year and he gets an offer to go someplace else where he's not going to get his players stolen from him every offseason, like, that's really, really tempting to do, right? I mean, Minnesota
is a good enough
program
coach to do that, though. Like, no offense to Ben Johnson, but like, I think it kind of goes both ways. I don't think there's people trying to get to Minnesota, like the higher level coaches, and I don't think the higher level teams are looking at him. No offense to him. Like, I mean,
I can
he was making a good living at a school that he went to, and he's doing pretty well. Like, I think we should all just be really happy that Ben Johnson's at Minnesota. And Minnesota's fun to watch. Like, that's a good thing. I wouldn't want anything to change.
No, I don't want anything to change either. But I just, like, I don't know what goes through these coaches' minds. When you're losing your entire roster in the offseason and you're having to replenish it, like, I get the loyalty to the school and stuff like that. But, like, at a certain point, like, he's got Mike Mitchell and Dawson Garcia coming back, and Parker Fox and Caden Betts, who I don't even remember him playing last year. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I don't remember him playing very much. He only had 1.3 points per game, so I don't think he played very much. But when you only have those four guys coming back, like, that can be daunting on you as a coach, where it's like, man, am I ever going to be able to keep my players here? Am I ever going to be able to, you know, continue to grow these young men and work with them and, you know, mold them and shape them into you know, good members of society and stuff like that. Am I going to be able to do that? I don't know. If he does make the tournament and he gets an offer to go to like a good Big East school, Xavier, something like that. I think he coached at Xavier before. No, he didn't coach at Xavier. But if he gets an opportunity like that, like, I'm just saying, I don't think it's 100% he stays.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's 100% or 100% to stay anywhere. Well, I do have to mention this because he's not listed on here. I don't know. You got this from ESPN, right? Like the
yes. Yeah.
Okay. There's one other guy coming back that's not listed on here. He's a center. His name's Jack Wilson, and he is a monster of a man. I think he used to play football at Minnesota, and
there he is.
I believe he's on the roster that I'm looking at right now. I don't know which one's more accurate, but dude is huge. Like, if I was ever, you know, having a few too many drinks and I wanted to run my mouth a little bit at the bar, I would want him to be on my team for sure. That guy is massive.
Let me pull up his picture really fast.
Yeah, do it. Like, he used to pose in, like, the team photos, like, after they got a big win. And I was like, who is this? Yeah, him.
He's pretty intimidating looking.
Yeah, like, not only that, but, like, he's also, like what is he,
6'11"? 6'11", 285.
Dude. Like, he should be playing. Like, the thing is, he's, like, too tall to play football almost.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine, like, a 6'11 tight end? Like, he should play football, actually.
I don't know. I don't know what he played when he was on the football team, but
I don't know. But the other thing was, he actually played in some games last year too. Like, I remember him playing against. I think he might have got in the Big Ten tournament game against Michigan State. I can't remember though. Like, I definitely remember him playing a few games. Like, you see, he scored some points last year. Like,
yeah, he played 7 games.
Okay, there you go.
6 points per game. So. All right, bad on you, ESPN. You did not have Jack Wilson coming back, you jerks.
That's why you got to have casuals like me sitting around talking about
it. Was your inside source, Parker Fox, let you know, right? Your inside source.
Funny enough, it wasn't him. No, I just was looking at the roster that on a different website, and I just noticed that they didn't have Jack listed. But I mean, I can see how somebody would overlook that. He only played in 7 games, and
Don't give ESPN credit.
ESPN, okay, I won't.
SEC lovers.
Jerks. That's right. If they were doing their job over there, instead of trying to make deals with the SEC all the time and sell ads and peddle their inferior football conference, maybe they would know that Jack Wilson was coming back to Minnesota basketball next year.
Jerks.
Yeah. Was that better?
All right. It was a good basketball episode, Kent. Somehow, even with nothing going on in college basketball right now, we still go an hour and 15 minutes. So we put in a good day's work. Kent, you know what next week is, though, right?
What's that? Oh, is it Media Day next week?
Big Ten Media Days. So we'll get to hear from some coaches, some players. I don't know if they've released who is going yet. Talk about Big Ten Media Days for a second while I look.
Again, I didn't apply for a pass to go to get invited to. I didn't get invited to Media Day, and I was expecting to get a handwritten invitation from at least 5 of the coaches in the conference that had already put in a good word for me with the conference that I should be there, and they were expecting to see me there, and they'd like to have a few drinks with me after we're done talking ball. But I didn't get that this year, and I'm pretty shocked about it. So I don't know how interested I am anymore because I didn't get that invite.
So Rutgers had their own local media days, I'm looking up, and Emmanuel Ogbol is a good pick to be the starting center because he is 275 pounds this year, 6% body fat.
Whoa.
275 pounds, 6% body fat. He's going to be bench pressing the point guard of the other team.
Yeah, that's good. He's huge. I'm like almost 275 pounds, 66% body fat. Is that good?
No, that's not what we want, but we're podcasters, so it's okay. We're the media going to the media days. We're not the players going to the media days.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, I'm the one asking the questions here. I don't have to be in shape.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we will we'll update you on everything that happens at Big Ten Media Days next week. We'll have a lot to talk about, I'm sure, and we'll go through, try to touch on every team that we can in 1 hour or less. We do typically go over an hour, so we'll see. But, there we go. There's our friend Johnny Kim is here. Appreciate you, Johnny. UCLA in the house. Sorry I missed you guys live this week. Next week, for sure. Don't worry about it. You can watch it recorded. No worries, Johnny. Appreciate you being here.
Magic of technology.
The good chef, but K-State is going to win tomorrow, he says. Not K-State basketball, good chef, but K-State football, probably.
No, no, play? JR. No.
Who do they play tomorrow?
That guy right there, is playing me in our Dynasty League.
Oh, there we go.
And okay. We are playing at noon tomorrow, my time. And he will not be winning. K-State will not be winning. What's that?
Is it a playoff game?
It is the semifinal game, yes.
Wow, there we go. All right.
He actually might win. Like, I think he beat I think he had to play Russ, and like I think he beat him already this year.
Wow.
But, you know, Russ isn't that good at the game, though. Like,
if he wins, I'm going to be very jealous of Good Chef because, one, he'll have made it further in the playoffs. Two, he has Coleman Hawkins on his team. Three, he has Doug McDaniel on his team. I'm just saying.
Yeah, life's good for him.
Yeah.
The problem is, though, he is going to lose tomorrow, though. So, like, that's not going to go well for him in the video game. I have no idea how K-State's actual football team is doing.
Are you going to stream it tomorrow?
I am. Yep.
There you go. Sweet. So, we'll go check out Kent Casual Big Ten over on YouTube and Twitter for his streaming. Or it's on YouTube and Twitter, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I've been having some struggles getting my stream set up, but I'll have it ready to go tomorrow for sure.
There you go. Go check it out. Go check out Good Chef and Kent playing tomorrow on the stream. You got a time? You have any idea?
I think we're doing it at 1 Eastern and noon Central, I believe. So Sweet. Right after I do... Lockdown Illini, it sounds like.
I'll just skip work and
watch yeah, that instead. I'm just gonna be on your TV or on your, I guess it's internet screens all day. Not really though. Tomorrow, I actually have a ton of stuff to do tomorrow. It's gonna be quick with both of those things. I'm hoping.
Okay, so maybe I should go to work then.
Yeah, you should go to work.
Okay.
Again, mine will be recorded too. You can watch that back.
We'll do. We'll do. Jeff says, good show, guys. Appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks for being here. And Johnny says, I'm going to hit the like button, and so should everyone else. Yes, hit the like button. We would appreciate that. Thank you for reminding everybody, Johnny. You're a pro, Johnny. You remember to tell people to hit the like button more than I do.
I never do it, man. When I make videos, I never say it.
I think that is my biggest deficiency as a podcaster, is I forget to tell people to hit the like button.
I think mine is that I'm just an idiot.
But it's funny though, so it's okay.
Yeah,
it's entertaining.
Works sometimes.
All right, everybody, thanks so much for watching. We appreciate it. Check out Kent tomorrow on Locked On Illini at 10 a.m. and then you can also check him out around 1 when he plays the Good Chef, Kansas State, and you're Michigan, right? And
yes,
yeah, Michigan Kansas State matchup, and then Friday, don't forget to check out Rutgers Washington. And tomorrow night, check us out as we do our football preview show. I'm going to have an Indiana fan on yet. I thought I had somebody lined up, but he's not answering me right now. So it's still a mystery who will be on with me tomorrow, but I'll get somebody and we'll preview some of the games. Should be a good time. So thanks everybody for being here. We appreciate it. Thank you, Kent, for giving your analysis. Have a good one, everybody.